So how has God helped you to handle your fears? What maybe has he taught you in the course of this time? It's your turn. Encourage the rest of us. Maybe you're facing a fear right now, and you'd like to share that with us so that we can be in prayer with you about it. And we will, because God has made us a family in Christ. So it's your turn, however God is leading.
Good morning, church. I'm Katie Neely. I haven't been here for all of the sermons, but I really love this last verse that you just gave us, 1 John 4:5. The victory that has overcome the world is really our overcome fear, and the world is our faith. And I think that God has really been helping me lately to see the importance of faith, even when we don't see the result of our faith right away, and to really persevere in faith, because we believe in a great God who does amazing things. And it's so exciting when we have the answer to our prayers, or we see him move, and it's very discouraging when we don't see him move. And Dulcie, you know, I'm so glad to see you here today, and I'm going to try not to cry. I have been learning a lot about healing lately, and all right, I'm just going to cry, so just bear with me. And I really felt like God, I just knew that God could heal Dulcie, and when I went to her house to pray for her, and she wasn't healed, it was really hard for me, and it just discouraged me, because I felt like God could really and wants to heal. And so just recently I went to a conference that on prophecy and stuff, and it was one of the things I learned was that when you're called to a certain thing, sometimes God gives you a trial in that before you are really thrust forward into that. And so, you know, I came to see that as a time where when I don't see the hope that I had, which was her to be healed, you know, how am I going to continue? Am I going to continue in faith and trust God and keep praying for people, believing that that's what God wants? Or am I going to just give up? And so God really showed me this weekend the importance of persevering, because his word is true. And I'm not persevering because I just have hope in something random. I'm hoping in God's promises, in his word. So thank you.
Hi. First of all, I just wanted to say I'm so happy to be back here at Crossroads. I really missed being here. Lately, I'm finding that as our children, Gail and I have four children, as they get older, the problems get bigger, and we our worries get bigger too, and we worry more about them now probably than when they were little children, definitely. And right now, my son and my former daughter-in-law are going through a very, very difficult divorce, and it's breaking our hearts. We find ourselves blaming ourselves, Gail and I. Where did we go wrong? We find ourselves trying in every possible way to help them and fix the situation. We think sometimes we can fix the situation. We could make it better. And of course, we can't. It's totally out of our control at this point. And we often forget that it just has to be in God's hands. We need to pray for them. And we need to especially pray that they find God in their lives, that they find the Lord Jesus in their lives and follow him. And the pain will subside. There'll be peace in their lives. You know, it certainly may not change anything in terms of their marriage, but right now, especially my son, he needs peace in his life, and that's not something that that Gail and I can give him as much as we think we can sometimes. All we can do is pray for them, and we know, we're finding out more and more that it is all in God's hands, and that we really need to trust in Him. When we do, I just know that those fears that we have will subside.
There's probably nobody in this room that has afraid of a lot of things than me. Afraid of height, afraid of the dog, the cat. Talk to my husband, yeah. But God brought me this far. I'm just nervous when I talk. That's also fear of speaking. God brought me this far, physically, from the Philippines, halfway around the world, and spiritually. And so I know that He'll be with me till the end. And I'm a fear of the future too. But I know that, you know, one of the lists in there that says, God will never leave you nor forsake you. And one thing that I fear of is my parents are, you know, they're old, they're 89 years old. My father has a lot of sickness and kidney disease, you know, and but so far, I know I've been praying about him. I'm praying about when the time comes when God calls them, that you know, God give me the strength to handle, you know, everything, and just the fear of losing someone, and I know that God will. You know, I pray that God, he's 89 years old, and that I pray that, you know, God give them more years, give my parents more years to enjoy your blessing, to enjoy each other, and just I really just leave that to Him, and so, you know, that really leaves. Get the fear from me that I just leave it to God. And that is, you know, really true. Because I pray for them, I pray for that fear every day, and that really gives me the strength to fight that fear.
God bless. Thank you.
So this sermon series has spoken to me through the entire thing. So many of you may know that my job situation became very toxic over this last year, and it had a huge impact on my family and even my own personal life. And so it had kind of come to a head in the fall. And so at some point I decided that, you know, I really needed to start looking for another job. And so when you look through each of these things, every week I would tell Vinny, I said every week whatever you spoke on was what I was dealing with. And so you look at, like, the fear of inadequacies. When I started looking for a job, I was like, who's going to want me? You know, the job I currently had is extremely specialized. And so I was really branching out into kind of another area. So I kind of had to trust God somehow would make it happen. And over the entire year, I had sent out my resume many times and never heard anything back. And so this roughly November area, I gave it to some people that I actually knew and had them get into the hands of people. And when they did and they could actually say who I was behind the resume, I started getting phone calls. So that was, you know, great for me. So, and then you talk about, like, the unmet expectations, and it's like what God wants versus what we want. And so for the entire year, I had tried to make my work situation work. And I was like, I'm going to make this work. But then I started to realize, you know, maybe God is actually speaking to me and telling me something like, you know, my family is more important than the job. My health is more important than my job. And so it was just kind of getting through all that stuff. Looking at the fear of giants, the people that I work with were just, you know, the way they treated me, you know, I would go in some days almost in tears because I was afraid of some of them. And so it was like facing them and figuring out, you know, who are they to have control on my life? You know, God is with me, and I would read, you know, Bible verses in my office to help give me strength, and I'd be praying to God, you know, hey, you can protect me. They can't touch me with you. The fear of the unknown happened to come during the time when I had three opportunities that I was going to have to pick from. I had possibility of an internal transfer at my company or actually leaving my company. And so when I started thinking about that, I was like, you know, I think God's just telling me that it's okay. It's okay to leave, you know. Trust me, I've got a plan for you. And it was during right around that time when, you know, I've been praying to God, you know, give me an answer. Let me know which way I'm supposed to go. I always hear people say that, you know, God spoke to me. And I'm like, speak to me, please. And for all of you out there, like, he does speak to you. You just have to be patient. Like, I all of a sudden got just an incredible calmness over me about what decision I was supposed to make. And it was, you know, the greatest feeling ever. And you can ask my husband, because I think I called him in Switzerland because he was off traveling. I'm like, I think this is where I'm supposed to be. So there was a lot of trials in order to get there, though, but we won't talk about those. But it ended up all working out really well. But then you just talk about, like, the fear of rejection. I had that along the way as well, because I was thinking about, you know, are they going to reject me when I start at my new company? You know, what's it going to be like? I'm going in not having certain skills. But through this whole entire thing, I can say that, you know, I've drawn closer to God. My family has become more important to me than ever. And even my husband has been a huge support as well. And just everybody in church that has prayed for me, I have felt so, like, supported and loved and wanted that it's just been amazing. So even through all these fears, it all turned out for, you know, the best and brought me closer to God and other things. So.
Thank you, Fabiana.
Thank you. In the first service, Patricia spoke, and she really made a point that was put on me. I was reading an article that also led to it, and Patricia was talking about admitting that she was afraid and saying that, I know we're supposed to be, as Christians, we're supposed to not fear and we're supposed to be strong. And I think sometimes there's that kind of feeling in church. And I was reading an article about millennials and how they don't really like to go to church, and they find church to be not the right place for them to be. And one of the big reasons that they felt like that was that they couldn't be afraid, or they couldn't doubt, or they felt like they had to suck it up and be strong and never show any feelings or weaknesses. And it's a New England kind of thing, you know, to say, no, I'm good, I'm fine. And, you know, how you doing? How's your day? Oh, great, I'm awesome. And so I think that just being the fear of fear, you know, is something that, for me, the church is a place where you come and God, it's not really like that. That's not a very Christian perspective. It's, you know, Jesus himself was in the garden praying, sweating blood, saying, Lord, if there's a way to take this cup from me, please do it, you know. And so if it's all right for Jesus to have moments of doubt and fear, it's certainly okay for the rest of us. We don't have to have this stiff upper lip all the time. And to me, that was I felt God was really putting it on me when Patricia spoke and I read that article. It really seemed to speak out to me. So I guess God speaks in, like the person right before me said, you know, you don't know. You feel like sometimes you wait for a voice in your head, but I don't think that's always the case. Sometimes he's speaking to you all the time, and you're not really realizing it. So that was what happened for me.
I think it was special when you said something about how your fears can be diminished by growing your faith. And I think one of the ways that you grow your faith is by getting in the Word. So one of the scriptures that you guys mentioned throughout the series was Hebrews 4:12, which says, the Word of God is living and active. And I met with a friend during this series, and she was talking just about the Word of God, and there was such a glow on her and such a joy to share God's Word. And I thought to myself, wait a minute. If God's Word is alive and active, it can only be alive and active if I'm really getting into it and letting it be in me and be alive and active. So over this series, I've really tried to just sit and be still with the Word of God and ask Him to be alive and active. And it's been such a joy to see Scripture come out that I didn't even realize was there, and words and verses that have just been so comforting to me through my fears.
Hello. I'm back here. This is my first thing doing the video downstairs. I hope I'm not doing a bad job for them downstairs. But sorry. So basically, you know, before I came to faith, I believed in bad luck. You know, I came from a Buddhist background, so it's always good luck or bad luck. You know, you go to the temple and you go to the monk and you say, hey, is this a good year for me for good luck? You know, for money or fortune. And as I you know, start to follow Jesus and realize that God was my Savior and everything. Unfortunately, last year we were blessed because we got our baptism and everything was going so well, and we finally, me and my wife, we finally had our wedding ceremony. So everything was going so well. We kept it, we did it traditionally. We basically announced to all our friends and our family that we're Christians, because only our close friends and family knows. But we had over 120 people at our wedding that probably only 20 or 30 knew that we were Christians, so it was good to share our faith, right? And that was a big fear to me, because I had family coming from all over the country to my wedding, and my wife as well and her family. And, we were blessed enough on our honeymoon night to conceive a child, And I can't say it was bad luck, but, going through this whole series, it's a trial of God that God has given us, because 2 months after, we found out that she had a miscarriage. And then after that, it was a series of trials. And a month and a half after that, I lost my job. And it was just a lot, it was a troubling time. But you just have to continue to have faith in God, because you have to believe that everything is in His control, and He does things for a reason, And going to church and listening to the sermons and having everyone just around me and feeling the love, it just continues to not just have the faith, but continues to motivate you and know that you're not just the only one suffering. Everyone else is suffering around you, and that's why we need Jesus to save us. And with God's love and Jesus's love for us, just doors opened up for me afterwards, after I lost my job. I had so many opportunities coming to me before I even updated my resume. And it just shows that if you live a life and you follow the path of Christ and you show the light of Jesus through you, people see it. And when they found out my employment happened, they knocked on my door left and right. And I came into the same situation as you. I felt like I wasn't good enough. All these positions were engineer positions. I never went to school to be an engineer, and it just feels very, securing. It feels really good to know that God is behind you and He put all this in front of you and gave you all this knowledge, so you could go walk forward and have your head up instead of looking down and just confront these fears and say, I'm good enough, and that's no other God could give that other than God and Jesus, and all these other fake gods can't do it. You could pray to all you want, but they can't do anything. So I just want to share that, even though you can't see the stuff, like Katie says, God is working every day. Every day He's working for you. So God bless.
My name is Gabe. Well, Gabriel, but they call me Gabe. This church here, so good to me and my wife. At the end of 2008, I thought I couldn't be destroyed. I had a good job. My wife had a good job. The wife is happy. Well, if the wife is happy, the household is happy. And we used to go fishing almost every day at the Quabbin Reservoir. And then all of a sudden, my back was killing me. I'll be standing up and then go right down without even knowing what's happening. So I had the operation in June 2009. And when they woke me up, I was paralyzed from the waist down. And then I went to Spalding Rehab in Boston. And I was there for 140 days. 140 days. night. That's where the real struggle begins. You by yourself, and it gives you time to think. I had a French Bible, a Creole Bible, a Spanish Bible, and an English Bible. And I did learn that as a Christian, all we have to do is God's will. And then God said, ask and you shall receive. I did ask, but in order to receive, you have to do your part. And I tried and I tried. And then to this day, every day is a struggle for me. Every day from morning to night. And as a 67-year-old, getting up at 5 a.m. in the morning and sometimes getting home at 4 in the afternoon, it's not easy. But if you have God in your corner, nothing will happen to you. God will protect you. But be careful. Satan is always lurking around the corner. Always, always, always. So God is the way, and then God is the only way. We're talking about living in fear. It is real. We all human beings, and then we are all are subject to temptation. So we have to be strong. Very, very strong. Oh, 3 years ago, I could see the light at the end of the tunnel. At my rehab, I was taking step. I was standing up. And then I had a major, major operation that set me back at least 2.5 years. So that meant I had to do everything over and over and over again to this day. But my friends, so those of you who just joined this church, we have a lot of good people here who are willing to help you. We have a lot of good people who are willing to pray for you. And my wife and I, we receive so much help from this church. There was never no question asked. And then to these days, like the church as we see it today, it's not 1341 Edge of Road now. It's not this building. The church is us. The church is us. And then we are here to help each other. And then when you have needs, they will take care of your needs. You need prayer, they will take care of your prayer. And before I end, February 16, this past week, was our 43rd wedding anniversary. Yeah. And so we've been together 45 years. And now I'm 60, I'm going to be 68, and Maggie's going to be and this is not the way. We weren't supposed to live the way we are now. We are supposed to travel and everything, but now Jesus has a way of making you humble. has a way of making you humble. And then you have to live with it. And then now also, my wife's mother lives with us, 99 years old. And so Maggie is taking care of two people in a wheelchair. And it is a blessing for me to live with such a strong woman, Christian woman, loves God and loves her family. Even though I'm in a wheelchair, my friends, I feel myself blessed. Thank you.
I wonder if we might stand. And can we have those four statements on the board again? It would do us well, I think, to recite these together. And then also after that, the verse from 1 John chapter 5. Let's recite these together. God loves us unconditionally. God is always in complete control. God can redeem everything for good. God will never leave you. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Let's pray. Our faith comes from you, Heavenly Father. You have given it to us, and its focus is in none other than Jesus himself, the one who conquered all fear, the one who conquered the greatest fears that we face, that of Satan, that of sin, that of death. We trust you, Jesus, as we encounter any other smaller fear in our lives, though it is so significant to us at the time. Help us to, in fact, live in faith rather than fear. We pray it so that our lives are not merely diminished, but our lives are what you have meant them to be, regardless of circumstances, abundant. And we praise you that it's possible because of Jesus. In his name, amen.